I did meet with the auditors earlier, or last week, and we had some discussion about a potential contract between the two agencies, and they did express concern about the financial controls we had in place, and offered me a couple of resources as well. One of them, which I've been looking at, and perhaps the rest of you might take some time, it's on the MRSC website, and it's called Finding Your Contract Requirements. That was enlightening. And also, there's an RCW 3934 about interlocal cooperation. So those are, I think, perhaps good homework for our further conversation about moving forward. And, you know, I think you all received email from Nathan letting us know that the fire board has just had an amendment or a resolution to not sign the contract at this time. So is that correct?
Yeah, it was in Pam's weekly update.
It was in Pam's weekly, yes.
You got an email like 2 days before that, and then she compiled everything and sent it out. So you saw it twice. But, yeah.
So, you know, I feel very grateful for that, just that it gives us time to find our bearings and make the right plan for our community. So, anything else on this topic? Okay, related to that, a letter to San Juan Island Fire and Rescue. We just wanted to draft a letter, at least it was proposed at our previous meeting, about, you know, in appreciation and with our intention to continue to work together. Go ahead, Mark.
I move that such a letter be drafted.
I second. Yep.
Thank you. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Thank you. Next we'll move on to...
Who's going to draft that?
Who's going to do it?
Nathan.
You this time.
Move on to the next item. But Chief Kutzing is his thing, so I'm happy to help, but I would defer
either
to him.
Either one of you is fine.
Okay.
So you're looking for a letter to thank them for the fire commissioner's actions that they took in terms of delaying any official execution of the ILA, as well as their letter of intent, mm-hmm. Which addressed some of the concerns of bringing the staff over.
Mm-hmm.
And,
mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah, that was great.
You're talking about them not taking action on the interlocal agreement?
Mm-hmm. But also in appreciation of the letter that they sent to our EMS staff, recognizing them.
But also our intention to support them working together.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Our, yes.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I thought we already wrote that letter.
It's in a draft form. We didn't send it.
Okay.
Because we're talking about?
We
need to vote on it. Yes. Yeah.
It's going to be both of those things together in one letter.
Yeah. So last, I'm sorry, I don't mean to be too pedantic,
fine.
But so last time we voted to do something, and this time we're voting on the specifics of that something that we voted on last time?
Mm-hmm.
Is that necessary?
It's how boards function.
Yes.
So maybe
in this case, it is.
I thought we already voted it.
Yeah, I don't think we voted. I think we just agreed. No. So I think it's important that we vote and that everyone on the board is present. So, moving on to discussion of long-term care. I guess I would ask Pam to weigh in on this, or Gail, has anything happened you'd like to share?
Well, I was thinking that on the same lines of a summary of like the CID, that I need to prepare a history of the long-term care, of how what happened from the closing of the convalescent center, and how the community committee was convened and we studied options for probably about 8 months, and then just a timeline and what the actions have been up till this point in applying for the planning grant. And that would give you a history of the whole topic of what has happened. Right now, we're just kind of in a holding pattern, waiting on the grant to be awarded. Mm-hmm. We feel like we have a very good opportunity to get the grant, but we still have to wait to see if we get the grant. But in the meantime, there are things that, you know, we could be studying and situating ourselves, especially since we have the survey results and kind of look through those. And I'd like to get you those also to put.
I think you gave them to us last time, didn't you? Mm-hmm.
But as far as putting it all together, because you've kind of only received a little bit here and a little bit there, and so if that's something you would like, I mean.
Mm-hmm. I think a summary report would be great.
Mm-hmm. My understanding is the mm-hmm. feasibility study is still underway.
It is, the feasibility study is finished, and that's what the survey results, the two-page summary, was for. And that feasibility study results were used to apply for the planning grant. So
I thought there was still something hanging out there.
Just the planning grant hasn't been, the money hasn't been, we haven't gotten the grant until January for the planning grant. However, there is a lot happening in the long-term care area that we can support as well. The Community Health Initiative Consortium, which is through Peace Island, has been trying to get the EDC and Northwest Workforce Development together at their meetings to talk about training caregivers. Mm-hmm. So not so much the idea of a facility or for the adult family homes, but more for the in the line of home care, because we have we don't have enough home care workers in any capacity and not enough qualified home care workers. And so they've been working on trying to get the union that trains people to come over here and do some CEUs for people that already have the certification, and also to draw in people who don't have the certification and help them get involved in training programs. So that's happening. There's a home care, there's a potential home care agency that may start up on Orcas that is going to serve the whole county. With home care workers and training, which is great. They're in the process of deciding to spend money on that. Lohari, that has been doing training, was founded from Orcas Hospice, and you know, initially, but they've decided that they may want to spend money, more money on home care and focus on home care agency of some sort. So that would be great for everybody, for the whole county. And then we're also working on contracting with ResCare Home Care on the mainland to be able to hire people here to do work in home and get paid through that agency, so to break down some barriers. So Senior Services and the county have been working on that with Peace Island and trying to connect to the other islands as well. So there's some, I think there's some things we can be supporting. It's great to get the history though, and the HRSA grant will certainly be the planning, the next stage of planning bigger things, but it's exciting that there's things happening that we can support as well at PhD, so.
Okay. Thank you.
2 minutes and 42 seconds.
Hey! See?
I talk fast. I know the hospital at the CCC meeting had talked about working with Skagit and doing some CNA.
And CCC is?
The Community Collaboration Committee.
Oh, thank you. There's so many words that could be CCC.
Sorry.
Community.
I'm not supposed to do that anymore.
But that is the oversight board for the Community Health Initiative Consortium, right, that I was talking about. So yeah, it's all related.
Yeah. Thank you. Should we move on to committee reports? So I guess we'll. I'm not sure if anybody met and did anything, or there are some upcoming things this week. But
I went to the trauma council meeting.
Well, we'll start with off-island transport, and that would be Trish and Everett. Anything new on that?
No.
There's a bit of meeting to go to.
I have to ask. I was like, did I miss something?
Because I had that on my calendar for coming up.
Yeah, I was curious if anything has been happening on the heliport. And before Commissioner Sweeney goes somewhere, was, if anything's been going on that at all.
There was a meeting. And it was purportedly to include all stakeholders, but did not. The meeting was not substantive with respect to the helipad. There was a discussion about stretcher modalities, transportation. Dr. Hamilton also was there and spoke concerning a number of subjects. The upshot is the helipad was not advanced in any way during that meeting. There will be meetings held on the first Monday of every month, and I presume that one or both of you would be invited to attend those.
Thank you.
I will say the Community Collaboration Committee, the CCC, didn't meet, so it does meet in January. Trish and Gail are on track for that. EMS Trauma Care Council, Gail, you attended?
Yes, I did. And I think Chief Kutzing spoke about this as well, that there were talks from Dr. Corso about streamlining the protocols for sending people off island, which was well received, I think, by everybody, and a great idea to have it clear for everybody. And there was a presentation from LifeFlight. Was it LifeFlight?
LifeFlight.
Yet a third provider, potentially, of you know, services. They are insured through Airlift Northwest, if you have that insurance. And I think they talked about the possible confusion people have when they see a third. And I just talked to some seniors yesterday, and they were like, I bought that one too. And it was like, just because you see a pamphlet doesn't mean you have to buy yet another, you know, flight thing. Luckily, they're not expensive. But clarifying that was part of the conversation, getting that if LifeLight wants to be considered, they need to do a press release of some kind to say they're connected to Airlift Northwest. And then they need to get to know the players. They're very excited about possibly serving here, but it sounded like, you know, we have some pretty well-worn paths for how things go, and they work really well with Island Air and with Airlift Northwest. So it sounded like there needs to be some integration, but that was interesting. As far as the protocols, one of the things that would be interesting to talk about in the group related to seniors, and I guess that's my specialty, is that, you know, people are flown off so often who really want to die here or don't want to leave the island, and so talking about how those protocols relate to people have those advanced directives that say. So I didn't bring it up at the meeting because I was brand new, but I would like to talk to you and, you know, Weishan a little bit more too about how that goes and how that can be impacted, because it would be really nice for people to be able to indicate what they need. And our seniors are one of the biggest populations of people that fly a lot. And that would be something I want to pursue in the future. And I wanted to we talked about getting an application for the Trauma Council underway at some point. So
right.
It's going to contact you, or there was one, the secretary of the board who does that.
Right. So the person who is the secretary for the County Trauma Council is Andy Schmidt, who is a resident of Shaw Island. And we did discuss that there is that opening within the County Trauma Council for an elected official. And it can be open to anyone in the county, and it can be open to anyone who's elected. Right now, Commissioner soon to be Commissioner. Can I say Lachine Seitz, or is that the Seitz?
Seitz.
Okay. Thank you. I apologize. So Commissioner Seitz has expressed an interest in that, and I think Jay Havner, who's the chief of Lopez Fire and EMS, is the chair of that council right now. So I will touch base with him to find out. We did feel it was important to extend that invitation to any elected official within the county. Mm-hmm. But right now, Commissioner Seitz is the only one that, you know, has expressed any sort of interest. Whether or not that needs to translate over to the North Region, that's a little more complicated, because that Commissioner Smith, who filled that position, has that position until it's recognized by the governor that she has resigned. She has submitted a letter of resignation to the North Region. But I'm not sure how far that's gotten, and that's something to definitely follow up on. And if it's deemed that Commissioner Seitz wants to indeed participate, great, then that possibility can go to the North Region as well. But it's not required. So we
can, or any of us too. I mean, we're just going to these meetings, but we haven't landed on who's going to be where. So
right. So that's kind of where we stand with that. And as Commissioner Seitz explained, LifeLight said that they were willing to draft some sort of press release that explains that if you have an Airlift Northwest membership, that a LifeLight will recognize reciprocity with that, and vice versa. If you have a LifeLight membership, Airlift will recognize that. You still need a separate membership if we are with Island Air. And I will check in with Chief Havner to see if he's got had any word with the LifeLight representative to see if that press release is forthcoming. Because my understanding is that Mailer has said that there's a deadline you have to sign up by the end of December. It would be nice if that got out there to the public. For the time being, a lot of us as responders are, or anybody who's in that sort of position, has been fielding a lot of questions. You know, do I need it? Do I need to get it? Or, hey, I just got it. Isn't that great? So we kind of have our work.
Do we need a press release?
She's going to write that. Okay.
And I think, you know, we kind of had a little bit of that discussion earlier. As a hospital district, mm-hmm. I'm not sure if we can, in all good faith, you know, basically handle the PR for mm-hmm. an independent company. Mm-hmm. So I think it's really kind of up to them.
Okay. And it did sound like there were some things they offered that aren't available, or is that not the case?
I'm not certain.
Okay. And what they said, it sounded like they had some planes that were different than, you don't know. Okay. Don't know. So that's interesting.
But I think that pretty well covers the trauma council meeting.
Well, I mean, we had a lot of questions about Kaiser leaving, and we did put out a press release explaining that LifeWise was moving in just to help our constituents. So if this is something that we need to put information out on, I think that's reasonable.
Well, we can sure help the process along, and she said she would, her PR, she has a PR person there who was supposed to send it to you, pass it on to anybody that was. So we'll make sure it gets out.
Okay, thank you. Anything else on this? We'll move on to the civil investigative demand, the CID. Is there anything to report, Kyle or Chief?
I hope not.
No, okay. we're still, the letter went to the AG's office, and again, I think, you know, what Kyle and I can do is work on coming up with a synopsis, a summary, mm-hmm. so we know it's kind of what we expected. It took 2 years for the AG to give us, what they were asking for. It took us about a month to respond. You can probably be looking at that same kind of back and forth a few times. We'll see what the next response from the Attorney General's office is. But no word yet.
Okay. Thank you. Anything else on that topic? Okay, report from the Finance Committee. That would be you and me.
Yeah.
I guess we just sort of talked about things already, about doing an annual review with EMS at the end of January. In my conversation with the auditors, who did say things were going really well, and should both be commended for that. Thank you, Pam. Thank you, Paul. It's nice to see progress. They kind of were asking what we were doing as a board, and I mentioned that we're doubling up commissioners on committees. So, like, there are two sets of eyes on finances at this time, and they really liked that. And their impression is very much that all of this needs to come from internally, all this work. Even though we have an outside agency helping us with our finances, it's really important that the oversight is coming from inside. So they were happy to hear that. We did talk about
going from accrual to cash.
And we also mentioned a bidding and procurement tool for the district in terms of the integration that they have on the MRSC website, or suggested. And I can't think of much else. I did mention before they did have real concerns about the financial controls in place for an integration. Is this on our agenda? I'm just looking to see where we're talking about this. Oh, no, I'm jumping ahead of myself, so we'll get to that next. Anything else on financials? Quality Assurance Committee. This doesn't have any assignments, but this was a topic that we had brought up at our last meeting and talking about other PhDs having this committee and what it would mean.
I did some checking, and most of the ones that have an actual quality insurance committee are ones that have hospitals, actual hospitals. Uh-huh. And so their quality committees are made up of staff from the hospitals and, you know, things like that. And they deal with the actual quality of procedures and things like that. So I believe, Chief Kutzing, don't you have a quality? Do you have a quality just for EMS? Don't y'all meet and talk about?
That's part of our monthly run reviews, is our, yeah, kind of our quality improvement, quality,
yeah,
assurance.
So, but as far as the overall hospital district, I don't think at this time, you know, we need one.
Okay.
If they're handling their things that come up through that, because EMS is the one that has the services, so.
Mm-hmm. I was just going to ask, I think at the last meeting you mentioned too, the hospital does have some sort of program over there. Is that right, or am I making that up?
They do, yes.
Yeah.
They have their separate, yeah, a really, yeah, strenuous program they meet.
Well, I guess the question is whether the board has responsibility or whether we just give the responsibility to EMS or to the hospital to do the quality assurance. Do we just assume that everybody else does it, or do we not have to look at it?
That's a good question.
I don't know. I'm just sorry to ask it, but that seems like that's the question, isn't it? It doesn't matter whether it's our hospital. It's our hospital because we pay for it, and it's our EMS because we pay for it. So do we have the responsibility of looking at the quality that the EMS offers and that the hospital offers? So maybe we do have to look at the quality assurance.
As far as the hospital, we can't tell them what to do as far as
quality
in their
programs. Well, maybe we can't tell them, but maybe we should be looking.
We do have the yearly, we do tell them yearly what we perceive as things that the district are looking at. You know, that list every time, every year from the, mm-hmm, subsidy reports, and that is written into our contract, so we do have that in place.
So just a question, sort of procedurally, in terms, mm-hmm, of quality assurance and the quality assurance program that East Island would have, that I don't know anything about, but I'm going to make a big assumption here because I'd be shocked if they didn't have a really solid QA program, but the letter that was sent on to us, that was a big concern by a community member who was, mm-hmm, seen, and charged what they felt were exorbitant prices, and you know that there was a locum doc who evidently didn't give them information that they could have had these procedures done off island for less money. When we are given those to look at, it seems that that's definitely a quality assurance issue for the hospital. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's like kind of a, it's not an incident, but could be, I mean, categorized as an incident. And is so now we have it sort of in our laps. I've got it in my computer. And, you know, is that maybe appropriate for us then? How do we handle that as a board when we get a big complaint like that? Because any complaint for when I worked at Island Hospital or, you know, through Hospice of the Northwest, those are handled very seriously. They go through a whole protocol. So how do we fit into that scheme as a board if we aren't part of the commission?
Beth Williams Giger is the contact person for these kinds of complaints, and she interfaces with the complaining individuals and works that out to their satisfaction. There's all kinds of remedies, including charitable services. So they can write off debts.
Right, but I'm also talking about, you know, how one then says, how can we prevent this moving forward? So that certainly is, you know, dealing with the financial part for that person that was a hardship for them. But now we've got an issue of how are we going to make sure that any locum that is seeing patients at our hospital, you know, for a month or a week or 2 weeks or 2 months, understands that this is part of their job.
So Peace Island, as well as Sandwich Island EMS, have internal QA programs that are robust, and I think Carl can speak to that.
Yeah.
And that's where the remedy is, I think, is to refer these issues to respective QA.
So committees. We're not. I mean, it comes to us, but then it just gets shifted over then to.
Yeah, it was kind of an FYI thing, as I understand, in our receiving that that letter.
Just so we're aware.
Okay. Yeah, so more like a report might be a quarterly report from the QA division to say, here's some of the issues we talked about and addressed internally so that things would stay, or here's a complaint we had but we dealt with it this way or something like that, just to kind of inform the board at least, right?
I understand, yeah, where you're coming from. You know, obviously the quality assurance and improvement is kind of an internal operational matter, and you know, that's why I'm here. How that gets reported back to you, whether it's just a simple statement that says, yeah, we had our QI QA, there's really nothing to report, I'm not, it's kind of new ground for me, new territory, but I would definitely, I'll reach out and kind of find out how it's done in other places, what's appropriate, what's not appropriate, and report back to you and let you know, because I understand exactly where you're coming from.
Maybe just not to be blindsided, just like,
right.
Okay,
filling that position of oversight, you need to know that it's being done,
yeah.
And if there's an issue, that you're aware of it. And at least at this point in time, there are no issues to report,
yeah, no,
which
I,
is great, but maybe formalizing it somehow.
Yeah, no, I trust EMS and I trust the hospital too, but it, you know, the buck stops here. We do have the responsibility. We do pass out the bucks. It's here. It's not enough for us to say, oh, everybody's doing their job. We've gotten in a lot of hot water doing that, actually, saying that somebody has done what they're supposed to do and not checking up on it. So at the very least, I think we need to, that's our job, to check. And so doesn't mean that we have to do a lot, but I think that's what the quality assurance is about. And I think is part of our duty, is to trust but verify, I think is
I
think
you're going to say that at some point.
You do it. Sorry, isn't that back too? Trust but verify.
Our relationship with the hospital is defined by our subsidy agreement. We're in the third amendment to the subsidy agreement. But the basis of our interaction with them is in section 2.2.2 of the subsidy agreement, where we have an annual opportunity to recommend services that does not include an oversight of their QA or QI. So we are watchdogs over purse strings. That's our primary job, both with respect to the EMS levy as well as the hospital levy. So, but we are not within our rights to be telling them how to conduct their clinical order ED practice. And again, it's very well spelled out. We're not granted those kinds of latitudes.
Well, I would be surprised that we couldn't look to see how they're doing, and that we would have nothing to say about the quality of what they did. I would be astounded that we couldn't say anything about that. That you couldn't tell me that we had no right. That's just so much. Sorry, I can't believe that. You can look at it. You can look at it. We may not be able to tell them. Maybe only once a year we can tell them, but we can sure tell them once a year.
Can I share an example of something that I've seen that has shifted? I think earlier on we saw the hospital recognizing that billing in the ER was high for people going in for something like an earache or something like that. So they did hear that feedback and came back with a billing structure for low acuity care for people that go into the ER. They did offer more walk-in type of appointments. So they are responsive to us in the 2.2.2, you know, and that's how we interact with them. I think what you were talking about earlier, the letter we received this week, that goes back to the rural exemptions that they are, that they fall under for being a critical area hospital. Access hospital designation. So actually, if you go to rural exemptions at cms.gov, it will explain to you why they can bill the way they do. You know, and it is hard to hear.
Actually, and I do understand that this was just more of that whoever that provider it should be sharing with, I would hope.
Right, but if it's a visiting doctor, they don't necessarily know that.
Right. And seeing that, and that was, I guess, my point, is who then would, you know, assure that that's a new protocol for a locum doc, you know.
I mean, so maybe that's something that we need to talk about when we have our annual review and say that maybe this is information that needs to be presented at check-in or something like that.
Nathan, you had a comment?
Yeah, I just want to make sure we don't, you know, like when we're talking quality assurance and quality, it's easy to start losing track of what we're talking about in a legal sense. When we're talking quality assurance, it's a very specific thing relating to reviewing clinical performance in a case-by-case basis. And the reason why there's an exclusion for this is because if there wasn't an exclusion, this is an executive session exclusion as well as a public records exclusion. If there wasn't this exclusion, then good faith efforts to deal with clinical outcomes could lead to liability. So that's specifically what we're talking about. This kind of global sense of dealing with our relationship with Peace Health, whether they're doing a good job, bad job, and what which ways, that is sort of a separate thing. It is quality, but it's not what's being talked about in this very specific thing. They're kind of different things. I know that, you know, we use words in all kinds of different ways, so I just kind of want to redirect back to that very specific meaning of this committee.
Sounds like we need to continue discussion.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
I just want to make mention here, take an opportunity to say that Pam is a tremendous resource. She's not a secretary, she's a superintendent. She is a tremendous resource of information and history. And so it really behooves us to listen carefully to Pam and understand what she's saying. If we're not clear on it, to query and get that clarity, because she is worth listening to.
Thank you.
We need to do more work on this clearly and find out more about it.
We do. All right, moving on. Inner Island Healthcare Foundation long-term care. Josh and Gail, we sort of touched on that earlier. Anything to add?
Hopefully February. You said February is when the next meet.
February, yeah. The date hasn't been determined yet. But.
At that point, they'll know about the HRSA grant. So that'll be great.
Okay, so moving on to new business. Apparently, we have to elect officers again, right? And temporarily, because we have to elect them again at the end of January. So, anyway.
Yeah, in a formal sense, they're not temporary, but since it's only for a month, it's temporary. I don't know if that matters. The distinction matters, but.
So it's our second round of temporary officers.
Yes. You only really appointed a secretary last time, and the bylaws just said you got to do all of them.
Okay.
So.
Okay. So I'll open this up to nominations.
And we're nominating now for the chair,
and
the secretary. Should we just take them one at a time?
Sure.
Well, I nominate Commissioner Lindstrom is the chair.
Second.
Make a motion to nominate.
Yeah, you did it.
That's all you need for a nomination, first and the second.
So, all in favor?
Aye.
All abstain.
Okay, that's perfect. Okay, so we have temporary chair. Nathan, do we need to elect a vice chair?
Bylaws say you do.
Yes. Yes.
I mean, you don't, as a district, you don't have to have one.
Yeah. okay, so vice chair.
I move to nominate Commissioner Loring as vice chair.
I'll second that. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Okay. And secretary and financial officer?
I move to nominate Commissioner Clary.
I'll second that.
I love it, Trish. Don't put yourself on. I love it.
All right. Let's get her all in favor?
Aye.
Drew Brees has nothing on Trish. Okay. She knows how to scroll fast.
Our next item is this contract from our CPA. Pam, would you like to walk us through this a little bit?
This is the second year that we have this engagement letter for them. Last year, we budgeted $6,000. We only spent $1,100 for the year. This engagement letter is for approximately 62 hours of work, and it highlights all the areas that they do. They can do reports, they can do financials, and we did move to the cash basis of accounting, so they can take our cash basis forms from Eden and prepare what a regular income statement and balance sheet might look like for other entities that would be looking. And it also helps, the main thing, it helps with questions for the Washington State audit report that we have to do yearly. It's due by May 30th. And this firm only deals with entities that are dealing with the Washington State audit report. That's all they do. They don't do personal taxes, corporate taxes. They don't work with anybody except organizations that are doing their Washington State audit report, and that is why I searched them out, because that is what we needed for the most expertise going forward. So this engagement letter is very far-reaching. The maximum is, I think, is a little over $11,000, but probably will come in under budget again, probably $6,000 or below. But it gives the authorization, if we were to need additional help with something, that they can call us their client and help with that. So.
So you're saying we already have engaged them, we engaged them for 2019?
Yes. Mm-hmm. And they do a yearly engagement letter. So this is for 2020.
Pam, is their distance from our office an issue?
No. They will come to here for meetings if they need to. They can come and give reports or just answer questions. We just have to let them know we want them and schedule, you know, the meetings. So
they're 20 miles north of Portland, so it's
mm-hmm. Yeah. They have clients all over the state of Washington, because they are one of the few firms that do this kind of thing, that just specialize in Washington State audit information.
And this letter is saying annual and quarterly financial mm-hmm. statements. Yeah. Is that a potential for expanding to a monthly?
That, if, yes. Away? Yeah. And that's, this is also something when Commissioner Seitz gets on, you know, I'd like to have another conversation about of how much and what you would like to see, okay. You know, me work with them about and on. So.
Sorry, did they provide those annual and quarterly financial statements this year?
No, they just provided help with the reports for the 2018 audit.
Okay.
For that.
Last year around this time,
Well,
that's what they're doing.
May 30th is when that is due, so they did most of their work between like February and May. Yeah. And then again, I engaged them right before the audit to go over the reports one more time, so they would be all checked.
Quick silly question. Is the fiscal year the calendar year?
Yes.
For the hospital district thing?
Yes.
So you need us to vote to approve this? Yes. Mm-hmm. So I'd like to call for a vote to approve this if we're done with discussion. Are you done?
No, I'm supposed to do that after me. Move in a second.
Yeah. Make a motion.
I'll hear about it. Thank you.
Did we accept this letter as written?
Agreement.
All in favor?
I just have one. So sorry, I know this is a little bit out of order. So
okay.
Are they replacing services that the hospital district received this year with this? Is this an add-on?
Yeah.
I feel like am I missing
something? No.
Chris Compton with him.
Yeah, Chris Compton's services will not.
They'll end and this will pick up where those.
Yes.
End. Okay, thank you.
So, yeah, just as a point of clarification, Chris has been, you know, helping EMS kind of get their portion of the finances in shape. I've learned a lot with Chris. I think I'm at a point where I can use Chris more as a resource rather than a workhorse. I'm learning that I've got the opportunity to interface with both Pam and with Chief Collins, who both have some good budgetary experience moving from a private business that I used to run to a public entity and understanding bars and all that kind of good stuff. So as far as when we submit that annual report, the work that I do through EMS is combined with the work that Pam does as the hospital district proper, because the hospital district handles both those levy funds. It's presented as a joint report. This particular CPA form helps in coordinating all that, putting it together, and it's a continuation of service that they've already started with us. It's separate from the CPA accounting services that were part of the EMS budget. It's a different beast. I hope that helps.
Mm-hmm. And those will continue. Those CPA services will continue.
I've got a line item for them, but it's at a greatly reduced rate than what was there before.
Like $11,000?
Yeah.
It'll be less than that.
Yes.
Okay. Thank you.
Absolutely.
Okay, I'd like to call for a vote, please. All in favor of approving the letter?
Aye.
Aye.
Thank you. Our next item is appraisal of the EMS building. Carl, would you like to address this?
It was something that we talked about with Commissioner Lindstrom and I talked a bit, and I understand that as we have integration of EMS and fire as kind of the end point, the target, that concern about outstanding liability of the hospital district, the fact that we're not providing that EMS service any longer and the hospital district retains those liabilities, what does that mean? It's kind of a process that it kind of weighs heavy in the back of everybody's mind. And I thought in our discussion, maybe having just an idea of what a realtor would think that this particular structure is worth, what they figure is the saleability of it, may help put your mind at ease so that if, in fact, you know, that once that full integration happens and this building is still owned by the hospital district, whether it's leased back, whether it's outright sold, you'll have an idea of what the value of it, will it, you know, pay off the bond, will, you know, how quickly will it pay off the bond. Because while the EMS building sold relatively quickly, the Inner Island Medical Center did not. Mm-hmm. And that was, you know, that was a big point of angst for a lot of people. So the thinking was, is if we can get just a rough idea of what a commercial realtor would think that the building's worth and how quickly it may sell, may help alleviate some of those fears. And so that was a proposal that we put forward.
We know we owe about $800,000 on the bond yet for this building. So
That's my understanding.
And Pam, what was your estimation of what an appraisal would cost from a realtor? You had some experience with that from Jerry.
Yes, a full appraisal is running somewhere between $4,000 and $4,200. Mm-hmm. To get a market appraisal done by a real estate agent, like say a commercial real estate agent here in our county, runs about $250.
And that's what I was thinking. We don't need a full appraisal. Right. We're not at that point. But just the market appraisal may be enough to just kind of help everybody kind of understand where we are in that process.
Get some information.
I do have a question. Are there any other assets that should be looked at as part of that?
Right now, I think that, I mean, all the equipment, all the rolling stock would transfer over. The agreements would come into place about how we do that. That's down the road. Whether or not this building facility would be leased to handle the transition is still pretty much up in the air. But as far as I know, it's just the building would be the only thing that would eventually land in the hospital district's lap. Everything else would transfer over. Mm-hmm.
And the distinction on that is that that's the only thing we owe money on, right? When we own everything else.
Yes.
Right.
All right, one move to authorize the market value appraisal for this building.
I second that. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Thank you. I mean, I do think a discussion of assets in the future would be important as well. Our next agenda item is a letter of appreciation to our outgoing supervising physician, Dr. Kislu. I think you all had a copy of this letter. She's been very flexible in her service to our district, especially in that Dr. Corsa will be gone for a period of time. He's deployed to Afghanistan.
That's correct.
And she'll be filling in for him.
I'm not sure if those details, but she has made that offer.
Yeah,
that,
that's very kind.
That she would be willing to assist while he was out at the time.
So,
I move to approve this. This letter for Olivia Hastler.
I second that.
All in favor?
Aye.
Thank you. Our next topic is upcoming meeting discussion. Just general planning for agenda items, trainings, committees, and board meetings. I think we've covered quite a lot here so far with ideas that we mentioned having Lane and Weishan address us. We've talked about more reports from Pam, and this is something we can continue to discuss by email as long as it's directed through.
We also got the Public Records Act OPMA training tentatively scheduled for the regular board meeting day in January.
Okay.
When can we talk about that now,
open
or do you want?
Yes, go ahead.
Okay. Yeah, sorry. Open Public Meetings Act, Public Records Act training. Both of which are required under the law. And it's useful training. We thought it would be a good time for you to meet our attorney in person. We could actually bring him out. The catch to that would be, it would have to be, like an afternoon before the regular, it would be like a long work session before the regular board meeting. I mean, are people amenable to that? Does that seem worthwhile? I mean, we would. We did that 2 years ago when we brought former Commissioner Appleton and Smith onto the board. It's good to periodically get everyone a chance to meet our attorney, interact. So it's not just to get the training, which is necessary, but also interact with our attorney. But I know that it's a daytime commitment because we can't have him flying home at 9 or 10 p.m. We also have regular business to do. So it'd be a long day. We'd probably break for, people take a break before. Tentatively be like, say, 1 to 4:30, and then the rest of the meeting, 5:30 till whatever.
Can we have dinner?
Yeah.
Would it make sense to have you reach out to him and see when he would be available, potentially sometime in February?
Yes.
That would work so we all have time to plan for something like that?
Are
we required to do the OPMA training sooner?
You get 90 days,
yeah.
But the law is not very specific about what that training must be. I mean, probably, you know, you can get away with the training we gave you by email, but, you know, we'd like to give you more detailed training and also give you a chance to meet our attorney. He is free that day in January, and we did talk to him, because at the last meeting we discussed, you know, touching base with him to find out his availability. But if you don't want to do it in January, I only told him to pencil it in. I can go back to him and talk about his availability for February.
I can do the 22nd of January, make it work, Kennedy, but is anybody else have a problem with it?
With enough advance notice.
Yeah, that's enough.
Yeah.
I can make it work.
Okay. Yeah, I was worried about...
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's fine.
Yeah. So...
Okay, that's fine.
I mean, it is an expenditure. It's not free, but it's... He charges reasonable rates, and it's good training, and you need to meet our attorney face-to-face. We deal with him more than we'd like. Much, as great as a guy he is, it's like getting to know your doctor really well. It's like kind of a good thing, bad thing.
You know, one of his colleagues.
So, yeah. So is that...
That sounds great, yes.
Okay.
Thank you. Everybody okay with that? Anything else to add to discussions or just the afternoon? Okay, so we'll move on to commissioner comments. Does anybody have anything to share at this time before we adjourn?
Thank you. Wish you all the very best going forward.
Thank you, Mark.
Thanks.
Yeah. I know the meetings haven't always been fun. It's been a lot of work, but your service to the community is noted and appreciated.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Oh, yes.
Oh, yes.
Right.
The
magical pen.
And Dr. Appleton.
May you write for a long time.
May you write.
Yes, you're expected to do good work.
PhD, first PhD novel.
So, in light of that, thank you, Mark. And congratulations on maybe some great things. I move to adjourn.
Okay.
Thank you.
Do we have?